There. That thing's so finicky. I came across that video this week, and I thought it'd be something for us to watch. How many of you would be willing to go to church standing room only in 120 degrees in a room? You guys think I'm long-winded. That documentary said 4 hours is considered a short sermon by these people. I wondered as a minister, if I was there and they asked me to preach for 8 to 12 hours straight, could I do it? And we feel pretty good if we make it to church 3 times a week. They meet 7 days a week. That's because Brother Deming talked about last Sunday, they could be killed for what they're doing. So they do that not to look good, but to stay in that fellowship with one another and with the Lord. I talked to a Nazarene missionary several years back that was taking Bibles back. And a friend of his said got stopped at a checkpoint. They found the Bibles. He was a Chinese Christian. And he said they just took him to a field and popped him in the back of the head, confiscated the Bibles. And he was getting ready to take a load over there. And he talked about how dear the gospel was to these people. He said the church there reminded him of the church in the book of Acts. Daily, people were being saved. So, next time you want to complain about this room's too cold or it's too hot or I don't like this and I don't like that and Rick preaches too long, it could be worse. I could get up here and go, I know I could go 2 hours real easy. But the missionary was told by the pastor of one church, we're praying for the American Christians. And he said, oh, we need all the help we can get. He said, we're praying that you guys will come under this kind of persecution so you'll get real. I thought, man, that's one of them prayers you kind of hope God doesn't answer. But when they looked at the church over here, they thought, you guys, man, you take it for granted that you have the freedom to come and worship. We're going to talk today still about the mind. Last week, you remember I talked about where is your mind, whether it's on heavenly things or earthly things. And today we're going to talk about what's in your mind. Jesus is addressing the Jews. He went to a dinner and it said they noticed he didn't wash his hands. And in this time, you washed your hands like a surgeon, from your fingertips down to your elbows. And the teaching of the elders and the Pharisees was, if you didn't do that, you became unclean in God's eyes. So they rebuked Jesus because he didn't wash his hands. And Jesus rebuked them back. And then he called the people to him, and this is where we're coming in. It says, and he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are the blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. Father, I thank you for your word. It never returns to you empty. It does what you send it out to do. You prayed, Lord, that your church will be sanctified through the word, set apart for a holy purpose. I pray today, Lord, that you will open our ears to hear this and to understand. Give us a good grasp on what you were teaching here. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, who's never surrendered their life to you, that this would be a day of salvation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to establish first what heart is. The Hebrew word leb is the inner person, the self, the seat of thought and emotion, and the conscience or the mind. So that's what that word refers to. They use the word heart because they believed at this time that everything you were dwelt in the center, but to them the center's here. I know Valentine's Day would be a little different if we'd send somebody a picture of a brain and say, I love you with all my mind. You know, it kind of takes away from it. So this is a poetic labeling, if you will. And I've heard others argue, well, the heart, our true heart's in the inner spirit, the inner man. Yeah, but Jesus here is talking about the mind. When he says, for out of the mind come evil thoughts. The Greek word here is cardia, which you can tell from hearing that is where we get our word cardiac, having to do with the heart. It means the mind. The heart was thought to be the seat of the inner self, composed of soul, life, soul, and mind. But they called it heart, cardia, the Greek did. And I know if you was to tell somebody, have you ever asked Jesus into your brain? They'd say, that sounds kind of weird. I had a children's ministry teacher tell me once that she asked one of the kids, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? And they said, Jesus wants to live in my heart? And they think about the blood pump. Why would Jesus want to live there? Well, that's the form of language we use. Sometimes in the church, I think we use terms we'd be better off not to. You know, that have no meaning today. Repent. Well, what's repent mean? The Greek means change your mind. Oh, okay, I know what that means. Change your mind. And sometimes we get caught up in this lofty speech and terminology, and there's people out there that go, I have no idea what you're talking about. I talked to one missionary who'd been over in this bush tribe there in Africa, and he was one of the few white men that learned their dialect. And he said they believed that your center was in your throat. And they transliterated a Bible into that language of these people so they could have a Bible. And he said if you read it literally in English out loud, you'd be saying, pray and ask Jesus to come into your throat. Well, we think that's terrible here. Well, he's not in your throat, he's in your heart. He's not in your heart, he's in your mind. Your mind is your heart. Are we on the same page? The mind is the seat of emotion. How important is it that we guard what we put in our mind? Some people think it's not a big deal. I remember in one church I had a guy tell me, nobody's going to tell me what to watch or to read or how to think. Well, I can't tell you how to think. But I can warn you, it is very important what you read, what you watch, what you store in your mind. The Pharisees had an outward show of religion. We got a lot of that today. I was talking to the Minister of Alliance, and I said, I've about quit wearing a tie and dress shirts. I like to wear a comfortable shirt and a pair of dress pants. And well, we were always taught that we should dress our best for God. I said, hey, deal with it. This is my best. Okay? I had somebody ask me one time if we had a dress code in this church. I said, yeah, we do require clothes. That's all we ask. Just show up with clothes. We don't care what kind of clothes you're wearing, but please wear clothes. And people think sometimes, if I dress a certain way, that makes me holy. The Pharisees were that way. They wore long robes. They had embroidery on the hem of the garments to show how many scriptures they'd memorized. They called them prayer phylacteries, and they would lengthen them. So you'd see a guy going down the street with this nice colored robe on, and he's got 12, 18 inches of cords dragging behind him. That guy memorized a lot of Bible. Jesus never said they didn't do that. He never said they didn't know the Bible, but he said they don't know me. God said that to the Jews after they got into the sin of worshiping idols in Canaan. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. That's not a good place to be. I remember one poor guy at school, he wasn't of the Mennonite faith, but he was of a holiness faith, and he never would unbutton his shirt sleeves with the top button. And we used to come up and say, hey man, your epidermis is showing, shut up, because they believed it was sinful to expose your arms or to unbutton the top button on your shirt. Nice guy, but I remember how miserable he seemed to look in the summer wearing them long sleeve shirts. He thought that set him apart. The Bible does say that we're to be set apart as Christians. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And some people take that to the extreme. Well, then I'm going to dress this way. I'm going to live without electricity. I'm not going to own any automobiles or anything because that's of the world and it's sinful. But their hearts don't change. Man has a heart problem. God said that all the way back in Genesis when he flooded the earth and killed man. He said the imagination of his heart, remember that word means of the mind, his thoughts and imaginations are only evil continually. So Jesus kind of rocks their boat here when the religious authorities say, you didn't wash your hands when you ate, so now you're unclean. That meant unclean before God. And Jesus said, no, that doesn't mean anything. He said, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out. I smoked for 15 years as a Christian. I used to hear it all the time. You're defiling the temple. You're defiling the temple. And I'd give him what Jesus said. Hey, Jesus says, it's not what goes into my mouth defiles me, it's what comes out. They didn't like that. You see, we like to be set apart by saying we don't use tobacco. We don't dress a certain way. We don't go to dances. We don't watch TV. Well, you've described a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon, a Muslim. You know, it doesn't mean a thing to me. Should you smoke? No, it's not good for you. I got the scar to prove that. But what was Jesus saying to these people? You can talk like you know what you're talking about. You can dress like you're holy. But God looks at the very center of you. That's what he sees. So you can have a heart just as hard as a millstone, and you can say good things. You know, when you come to church, how does people want you to act like a Christian? Easiest place in the world to be a Christian is right here. In fact, if I came in here and started talking off to what you thought a Christian would be, that would upset you. If I got up here in the pulpit and just started cutting, cussing and spitting and going on, you'd say, but if I was out on the street doing it, some of you might not think too much of it. God looks at our heart, our mind. He reads our thoughts. He talks about our motivation when we do things. Jesus said, when you give to the needy, don't sound a trumpet like the hypocrites do. Don't draw attention to yourself. Or he said, otherwise that's all the reward you're going to get. He said, when you give to somebody, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. He said, God who sees in secret will reward you openly. What's that about? That's about your motivation, my thought. Why am I doing this? You know, why do you go to church? Well, if I don't, they'll talk about me. You know, if I don't, somebody will be calling me or coming to the house to ask me what's the matter. If I do go to church, people think I'm a better person. You can sit in church and be just as lost as a ball in tall weeds, and nobody will know it but you and the Lord. You see, when you get saved, everything that happens, everything that God does to you and I is on the inside. That's the most important thing to God, is he wants to change your thinking. Not brainwash. I'm not talking about brainwash. You let him do that. You allow him to do it. How? Through the reading the word and prayer. You know, you read the word and you pray. Pray about what you read. It doesn't have to be a long, lengthy, eloquent prayer. In fact, Jesus said he won't listen to prayers like that. He said that's what pagans do. Just pray simply, pray honestly, pray in truth. When I came to Christ, I could reach around my back and grab my hair. I had long hair, almost down to my belt. And I remember when I went to a church service that evening, I hadn't been to church in years, And the Lord said, you know, you need to go to church. And I said, I'll go tonight. Didn't want to go during the day. There'd be less people there at night. I knew that much about church. And I got there, and instead of preaching, the preacher said, this is our testimony night. So anybody has a testimony, share it. And I was sitting at the back of the pew by the door in case I wanted to get out of there. You know, just in case he said something I didn't like or, you know, pew, I can leave. And I sensed the Lord kept saying, get up and share your testimony. That ain't God. I don't know any of these people. Why should I want to talk? I'm not a preacher. You know, and he wouldn't leave me alone. And the last person gave their testimony, the preacher got up and said, is there anyone else? And before I knew it, I was on my way down the aisle thinking, what am I going to say? And people were not looking at me like, now there goes a man of God. You know, that Ethel, do you know where the kids are? You better button your purse shut. You know, I had a bushy beard, long hair. The people in that town knew that I dealt drugs. When I moved there, one guy told me, now we got everything. A gas station, a store, and a town drunk. You know, because that was my occupation on the weekends. And when I got up there and started sharing my testimony, I seen people go, oh, okay. But some of them didn't believe it. And one of them one day made a comment after I'd been in that church about me, you know, if you cut your hair, you'd look more like a Christian. So I cut my hair off at shoulder length. That didn't satisfy that dude. I said, I got a haircut, man. I can't tell it. And something I knew as a baby Christian, God wasn't interested on my outside appearance. He didn't care. He didn't say, you need to cut your hair. You need to quit smoking them cigarettes. And maybe I'll listen to you, you no good scuzzball rotten sinner. Huh. Jesus Christ came to save us. And the change he makes is on the inside. The Bible says that we become new creatures in Christ, new creations. What happens to the old? Well, buried with Christ in baptism. And it's hidden. Oh, I like that. My old life is hidden in Christ. God is not holding my past against me. Now, I don't know how that is with you, but with me, there was a lot of things against me in my past. And the night I came to Christ, it was not in a church because I know now the church couldn't handle it because I got on my knees and started confessing my sins out loud. Yes, I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of that. And I think in a church that a lot of people couldn't handle that. Oh, my gosh. Billy Sunday, the famous preacher from Oklahoma, preached a meeting in Arkansas, a tent meeting. And they said one guy came to the altar and he started confessing his sins out loud. And he said, Billy looked at him and said, my God, I'd bawl too if I'd live that way. Who wants that kind of attention? What's this got to do with my mind? Got a lot to do with my mind. Jesus said, it's out of the mind sin comes. It begins as a thought. All sin begins as a thought. That's pretty simple. So what should I put in my mind? Well, if you go around putting porn in your mind, you're going to struggle with sexual temptations. Garbage in, garbage out. Now, I'm talking to the church this morning. I've heard people make fun of, you know, some preachers telling them maybe you shouldn't go to movies or shouldn't watch TV. I've known people that didn't have a TV in their house. You know, they said they didn't want that garbage in there. And I thought, that's a little radical. I like to watch a little Andy Griffith once in a while. But it's very important what you put in your mind. Very important. Jesus said it's what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. Remember, the brain, the mind. And that's what defiles us. Murder starts as a thought. I told you I had a firefighter when I was on the department assistant chief was messing around with another firefighter's wife. Well, the guy found out about it. And he confronted him one night when I was there. And I mean, he knocked him on his back twice. And the guy got up, and I said, you stay down, you come with me, I want to talk to you, you know, what's going on? And when he told me that, I said, I'm sorry, if I'd have known that, I'd have just closed the door and let you finish what you was doing. But I talked to that firefighter, I pulled him in the office. I said, what happened? Oh, it just happened. I said, no, it didn't. I said, don't sit here and tell me that. I said, I'll tell you what happened. she began to text you. And you and her began to talk on Facebook back and forth. And you began to play with the idea of, you know, hey, my husband will be gone two nights a week, so why don't you come see me? And I said, you thought about it. And at first you tried to say, well, no, I don't want to do that. But I said, eventually you made up your mind you was going to do that. I said, isn't that more to the truth? And he kind of dropped his head and he goes, yeah. I said, then it didn't just happen, did it? I said, you spent time thinking this and planning it and carrying out your thought. I said, now you got a guy that wants to kill you, and I don't blame him. I said, I can't send you and him into a burning building anymore because you won't come out. And I don't blame him. Now, this guy wasn't a Christian. Neither one of them were, to my knowledge. See, our mind says revenge. The Bible says revenge belongs to me. God says that. That's up to me to take revenge. Well, you don't know what they did. I do know what they did. And I'm telling you, I'm the only one qualified and justified to make a judgment. Well, what does Jesus say? Do what I ask you to do. How many times have you cheated on the Lord with your habits and your thoughts, your actions? That's why God tells us to be careful about judging people, especially about not forgiving, because he said, I forgave you all this stuff, and you can't forgive that. Well, I think, well, you think wrong. That's what's the matter with the society today. That's what's the matter with those who haven't given their lives to Jesus Christ. They have a worldview, and it's wrong. It totally goes against God. We just read that in Sunday school this morning, that God said to the Jews, woe to those who put darkness for light and light for darkness, and they put evil for good and good for evil. Man, you just watch the news today. That's happening in this country. I mean, full blast. They're calling things that are good evil. They're calling Christians fanatics and bigots and intolerant, narrow-minded. And the true Christian, all we're trying to do is share the truth, because that's what the Lord's told us to do. We're to be light in our communities and share the love of Jesus Christ. But part of the love of Jesus Christ says that's wrong what you're doing, and it needs to stop. You see, it's very important, if you're a Christian especially, what you allow yourself to dwell on, what you allow yourself to think on, what you put in there, because garbage in, garbage out. If you eat fat, greasy food, you're going to be a fat, greasy dude. That is a fact of life, okay? But if you, as a Christian or a non-Christian, if you put things in your mind, and that's how they get there, they don't just jump in through your ear, you sit and you spend your time in these things, it can develop a worldview and a world philosophy that will estrange you from God. That's why the Apostle Paul told the church at Rome, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. That word is metamorpho. In Greek, it's the word like metamorphosis, when a worm builds a cocoon and comes out a butterfly. Paul said, renew your minds. Don't be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. You choose to do that. I choose to do that. I've got a right to watch TV if I want to. And I can turn that TV on, and when Victoria Ain't Got No Secrets underwear commercial come on, I should turn the channel. And I do. Now, I'm a man. I'm almost 60, but I ain't dead. I got to watch what I allow to come in up here. I like what Job said. I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully on women. That takes some of your will. Do you know that? That takes your willpower to say, I'm not going to do that. I've shared that with you that when I got off the drugs, I had to come to a place to understand that they were my God. Because I smoked pot off and on for almost 15 years after I came to Christ. And I justified it like, oh, man, it's green. Any green thing the Lord made. And you know, well, I don't smoke poison ivy, and it's green. So what's the difference? And I remember I worked for a guy that was a deacon in this Baptist church, and he got high. And I thought, hey, that's a deacon, man. If it's okay for him, it's got to be okay for me. And then one day, the Holy Spirit said, that's a god. You shall have no other gods before me. Man, I don't get down and worship this plant. No, but he said, when you're in trouble, that's where you go. Your faith isn't in me, it's in this drug. Same way the booze. You see, Jesus is saying, it's what you're thinking is what's going to cause your actions that's going to get you into trouble. And I know the arguments, and, you know, young people and older people, you ought to be careful about the music you listen to. I was preaching at one Nazarene church, and I was talking about some of the music. The youth were here, and they were here, and this old man on this side kept, amen, amen, preach it, brother, amen, hallelujah, yes, sir, preach it. Oh, rock and roll music of the devil, you know. And he finally got on my nerves enough, I looked at him, and I said, and, by the way, let's talk about your tear in the beer country western music you guys listen to. I said, when you sober up and play the music backwards, you get your wife and your dog back. And he came up to me at the end of the service, and he goes, now, brother, I've been listening to that for 50 years. Are you telling me that's wrong? I said, doesn't matter what I tell you. It matters what the Holy Spirit told you. One of the teenagers came and said, I thank you for being so honest with us. And he said, I appreciate you being honest with the older people, too. He said, I can take that. I seen a kid once on TV, goes around sharing with young people now, he was listening to a heavy metal song that he really liked, and it was talking about suicide and how it made sense. And he said, it made sense to me, and I stuck my daddy's 12-gauge under my chin, but the angle was off, so he just blew a big old furrow out of his face and his head. And they sewed him back together, but I mean, he doesn't look good. And he spends his time now going to high school and telling young people, be careful what you're listening to. He was high. You know, he was getting high. He said that singer talking about taking himself out, he said, man, that just made sense. Now, does that mean that everybody that listens to that music is going to do that? No. But especially if you're under the influence of something, your mind is a lot more open to suggestions. Jesus infuriated the Pharisees. He said, you guys are wrong, man. It doesn't matter how you dress. It doesn't matter if you don't wash your hands. He said, what matters is what you allow to come out of your mouth. And he said, that comes from what's stored up in here. In fact, in the 12th chapter of Matthew, he told them that very thing. He called the Pharisees snakes. He said, how can you who are evil speak good? Easiest thing in the world. If you want me to hear good, you know, if I know I want you to hear good, I'm going to be careful to speak good around you. But he said to the Pharisees, but your hearts are, they're not changed. See, you can talk church. You can talk the Bible. You can act like a Christian. But are you? A Christian, I mean, have you given your life to Jesus Christ and said, just take whatever's left of this life and use it for your glory, and I will submit to you. I will be teachable. Okay? The Pharisees weren't teachable. They said, hey, we got this gig figured out, man. Long as we dress this way, we're okay. But Jesus, they were money lenders, and they lent at interest, which was against the Jewish law. And he said, you make long prayers, and then you devour a widow's houses. You call in your note, and you take away the only thing that woman's got to live in. And he said, then you make long prayers to cover it up. People would listen to him and say, oh, wow, that guy's really holy. Listen to him pray. And Jesus said, there's nothing holy about you. It's an act. It's an outward appearance. You see, when God deals with us, it's here where he talks to us. Now, I know we're always going here in the church. It's not here. It's here. And what he will do, if you will begin to read his word, if you will begin to talk to him, he will begin to show you things in your life that he wants control of. God wants your thought life. And, you know, it's very important what you put in there. Some of the old preachers were against Christians reading any worldly books at all. They said, what profit is there in that? How does it draw you any closer to Jesus Christ? Well, no. Then why do you want to mess with it? Why do you want to fool with it? Now, we're pretty independent in this country. I got a right to read what I want to read. You do. You have every right. God made you a free will creature. You have a right to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have the privilege of coming in, if you will. People sometimes mistake religion by how we dress. I've had people come to this service dressed better than me. I saw one guy and his wife come in. He had a full suit on, you know. And he said, I just thought everybody at church wore a suit. And then he complained about how hot it was in here. I said, look at the way you're dressed, man. You ain't got nowhere for the heat to go. You see, you can get stuck on that, on my outward appearance. As long as I look good, then I'm good. Jesus said, no, it's what's in here. How important is it for you and I to monitor what we put into our minds? Jesus said, be careful on what you hear, because unto whom I give much, I require much. That's talking about his teaching. When we say, yeah, I understand this in the Bible, and I agree that this is good, then the Lord said, then I'm going to say, what'd you do with that? Because it's not the hearers of the word that are justified before God, it's the doers. Do you allow the word of God to shape your life? Have you lined up with him and changed your mind and said, you know what? You're right, I'm wrong. That's a hard thing to do. One of the hardest things I ever did after I got saved was I had to look in a mirror one day, and that guy that was looking right at me, I said, that's the center of your problem. When I first got saved, you said, who's your worst enemy? Oh, the devil's my worst enemy. Yeah, that old devil, man, he tempts me. And then I realized one day, I'm my worst enemy. When I rear up and say, I'll do what I want to, thank you. It's a disease. I hate that commercial. It's a disease. No, it's not. It's a choice. Yeah. Now, you can reach a place with any kind of drug that your choice becomes physically addictive. Then you will have withdrawals if you go away from it. But all sin is a choice. All sin starts in the mind. And you can decide what to do with that. Paul said, we cast down imaginations and bring every thought into obedience to Jesus Christ. That's the option we have, Christian. You can't stop some of those thoughts from coming into your head, and you're not responsible for that. What you're responsible for is, what do you do with those thoughts? Do you act them out, or do you push them out? It's what you need to do. Well, in the name of Jesus, I ain't doing that. The Scriptures say. You got to know what the Scriptures say to be able to say that. Am I saying you got to read the Bible 24 hours a day or 8 hours a day, 7 days a week? No, it'd be nice if you could. But you can read it that long and not apply it, not allow God's Word to change you, and all you've done is read a Bible or read a book. The Bible is not a book of suggestions. It's a commandment. We have to change our minds in order to line up with that, or it'll never work. You'll just be a religious sinner. If you don't allow Jesus Christ to do the work in you that he wants to, well, what does he do? The Bible says he recreates you. You become a new creature. I'll tell you what happened with me. I began to understand things that I read in the Scripture. And I remember turning on the radio one day on KTTS, because that's what I always listened to. That was back when country was country, not the pop that they do now, and it was country. And I was listening to this song, and I started going, oh, man. You know, I'm sitting there with this bar fly, and I'm getting hammered, and me and her are going to go out and fornicate because my wife left me, and yanny, yanny, yanny. That's what I started hearing for the first time in my life. The glorified drunkenness, sexual sin. I went over and shut it off. I'm like, man, That was the Holy Spirit. That's not Rick. And I wondered for a while, what's going on? And I was reading about when Saul was anointed to be king by the prophet Samuel. And he said, when you leave here, you're going to have a new heart. And it said, when Saul turned around to walk away from Samuel, he had a different heart. Not the blood pump, the mind. All of a sudden, Saul's mind was focused on God. That's what he does. He comes in, and the Holy Spirit starts shining that light in our mind, and we start seeing all the dark areas. And I'm going to tell you something. Being a Christian is an everyday decision. Jesus said, every day you got to take up your cross. That's a death sentence. Every day you got to die to yourself. Every day you got to say, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong. But that doesn't happen a lot of the times with us. We argue. I argue with him for years on some things. Oh, no, no, no. I'm glad he's a merciful God. Yeah, I'm so glad he's merciful. If I'd have been God, I'd have given up on me a long time ago. I thought that. If it was up to me, I'd have said, man, just write the dude off. And the older I get, the more my mind started set on heavenly things. You know, that's what's going to matter when I stand before the Lord. It's not going to be how much money I had, what I do. You know, do I have a lot of possessions? I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse, so you don't get to take any of that with you. God's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the information I gave you? What did you do with your changed life? Something I'd realized after I became a Christian, it can't be all about me. God's in the business of reaching out to people. And he does that through the individuals, through his church. But you got to learn to think different. Why don't you stand with me this morning? If you're here today and you say, man, you know, I don't know that this is how I live, what I do. I've never came to Christ. Well, then come up here and sit down on the front row. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'd just like to talk with you. If you're struggling with things as a Christian, the best advice I can give you is to quit struggling and give in and just tell the Lord, yeah, you're right, I'm wrong. That's a whole lot more peaceful. Whatever you might need to do, I'd ask that you would do it. Come up here if you need to as we sing the song of invitation, please.
Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life, in living every day. By the power of your love, hold me close, let your love surround me, bring me near, and draw me to your side.
Tonight at 6 o'clock is our Sunday night Bible study. We're in the book of 1 John. If you can, come on by. We've been having some pretty good studies. The back of the bulletin has a prayer list, and that's for people that, you know, if you say, is there anything I can do here? Can I pray for anyone? That's why we put that list on the back. People that are asking for prayer and need prayer. Are there any unspoken requests before we leave that aren't on the bulletin you want to bring up? Oh, he did. Okay. Brian Dennis passed away, so we're praying for his family. I just saw his dad in town the other day and asked how he was doing. He said he wasn't doing well. That's a shame. Well, whoever's got the closing prayer, yes. Yeah, drop in and give them a call if you got time. Go see Wilma Davis, too, or at least call her. She enjoys that. Do you have a closing prayer, Doc? Please close for us.
Yes, Val. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for watching over us and caring for us as you do. Father, thank you for loving us when we're unlovable. Thank you, Father, for forgiving us when we sin, when we fail, Father, to be obedient to you and to share you with others, Father, to do the things that you set us out to do. Father, I just pray that you would help us this morning and guard our hearts and our minds. And I pray, Father, that what comes from our voices, what we speak to the world, will be blessed by you and will be in honor of you. I just ask your blessings on each person here, Father. I pray that you be with those who are ill. I ask that you would give them healing, Father, and comfort. Father, I pray for those who are bereaved. I ask that you bless that family. And I pray, Father, that you give them the comfort and the security of knowing that you love them, that you know that they're hurting, and that you care. I just thank you, Father, for the love that you are. I just ask your blessings for this week ahead for each of us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is he. Great and mighty is the Lord. let the anthems ring, praises to our King.